Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. You're about to hear a message called Choosing Courage, part two from the series Wind in My Sails. We hope you put new revelation in your life through today's message.
Well, we're on part two of a series that we began last weekend, and the theme of this series is really about the fact that watch people go through things in life where, if not properly processed, say that three times fast, if not properly processed, sort of derail, if you will, or alter like the course of their life. In other words, out of the experience, out of the situation, out of the problem comes, well, we're going to go in this direction now, and it's not necessarily the wisest or the best or, you know, will of God or any of those sorts of things. And it became a defining moment, a defining thing in their life, but it wasn't a good defining thing. And I just believe God wants us to be able to overcome. I believe that God wants us to see when things are stealing our motivation and keeping it from where it should be so that we continue in a life full of faith and courage and passion and vision and all of those things. So today we're going to talk about the subject of courage. And, you know, when it comes to courage, sometimes people just kind of have a funny idea about what that looks like. And so we thought we would show you some of those ideas. Take a look at this video. That's pretty much what it's like to raise four boys on an acreage. That was our experience. But that was not courage, by the way. That's just dumb, okay? That's just dumb. That's not courage. But we're going to find out what it is and how it works and how it overcomes discouragement. Because discouragement is such an enemy in life. And I can remember the early years of starting our church and just a handful of people showing up to a community hall. It was like we just had one thing to overcome every week, and that was discouragement. And if you're in a startup business or been there, you know what that's all about. But just keeping courage was like a big deal. You know, if we can just like show up next week, that's going to be good. Like that, just keeping courage. Don't let discouragement settle in, and just press in, keep going. And you know, out of that, you see things happen. But discouragement, however, if we'd have bought into it, if anybody buys into it, what happens is you just lose heart. You know, you just get to a place where there's something missing inside of you that has the ability to handle it any longer. And if that happens, then you lose the strength to continue, to persevere, to take risk, all those things. And being discouraged really has nothing to do with your capacity or your skills or your ability or the will of God or the purposes of God for your life. None of those things. Discouragement stands on its own with the power to undermine those things. But here's what you need to understand about discouragement, and that is this. Discouraged people quit what they have the ability to finish. I want you to hear that. Discouraged people quit what they had the ability to finish. Yeah. It's not a question of ability. It's not a question of the will of God. It's a question of a person's heart and mind shifting to a place of discouragement, and that became what sabotaged their decisions and their future. Likewise, though, courage also stands on its own. Courage is not dependent on a proven track record. It's not dependent on skill. It's not dependent on ability. Courage is a condition of your will that makes you determined in the face of opposition. So courage is described as strength. It's described as being determined. It means to be hardened when it comes to, you know, your will and direction in life. It means to be obstinate, but in a good way. You know, in a sense of, I'm just really, this is what we're going to do. This is my choice. This is my decision. I'm not going to move. Courage is a decision of the will, and it's not a feeling or an emotion. And sometimes I think that's where it plays into confusion. It's a disposition of determination in the face of opposition and in the face of challenges. And it's kind of like this: feel the fear, but do it anyway. That's what courage looks like. So it's not an emotion. It's not like I need to work up a feeling of courage. No, you could actually be feeling very nervous, be feeling very anxious, and be very courageous at the same time. So though courage and discouragement are described as a condition of heart and mind, they are clearly manifested in the actions that we take. For instance, when we're full of courage, we're going to be advancing, we're going to be action-oriented, we're going to take risks, we're going to persevere, we're not going to quit, all of those things. When we're discouraged, though, we become indecisive. We can't make up our mind. We become vulnerable to quitting as an option. We become inactive. We don't want to go forward. Because why? Because of discouragement. We become paralyzed. We begin to question ourselves. Have I made the right decision anyway? All of those things happen in the context of discouragement. What is the cause then? What gets us to this place of discouragement in life? Well, a good example of this comes from the scriptures. When Israel was coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land, you know, they've broken free from Pharaoh. Now they're on their journey. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 makes a comment about the beginning days when it says this: remember when Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all of the stragglers that were at the rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear God. Now that word Amalek means this: a dweller of the valley. It literally means this: low times, low times. That's when discouragement hits you. Yeah. It's in the low times. Yeah. It's in the times when things are not going as well as you would have hoped, and it's low time. Notice that timing. He's attacking them when they're just in the beginning. It was the first attack that took place on Israel. And you know something that happens in people's lives today is you're just beginning and there's an attack. You're just beginning to get free from addiction and there's an attack. You're just beginning to walk with God and there can be an attack of temptation or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're just beginning a company, a business. There's an attack. You're just beginning a new career. There's an attack. You're just beginning to have a family and there's the challenges that can be there. The attack of low times can come in the beginning. It's a challenge whenever we're facing something that's new, even advancing a dream that's in our life. Whatever it is that you're trying to take a step forward with, there seems to be an Amalek that would like to battle with you, that would like to bring you into a place of low times. And when it's low time, it opens the door for discouragement in your life. What is a low time? Proverbs 13:12 says it this way: hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. A low time is when something's been deferred, hope deferred. It's when expectations are not met. The door becomes open to discouragement when what we thought would happen didn't happen. Right. The resources were less than we expected. Others failed us that we thought would come through. Things just got too hard. They were hard, but now they got too hard. Things didn't go as planned. We had a plan, but it didn't work out. Things cost more than we expected they would cost. It just took longer than we'd planned for it to take. And it required more out of us than we expected that it would. Things like this become low times, times where discouragement, opportunity. Or we can get in a low time and we start to make comparison. We're like, how come it's going so well for this other person and so difficult for me? Comparison can bring us into a point of discouragement as well. Maybe we respond incorrectly to a failure, something that didn't work out. We allow that to be a low time, a time of discouragement, when it should just be considered something to learn by and move on. We respond incorrectly. Problems and obstacles are bigger than we anticipated. It can be a low time. We can be set up as well for discouragement, because there are things in life that sometimes we go into them with the expectation that this should be easy. This should be easy. This shouldn't be so hard. Let me give you just a few. For instance, you know, you're dating and you're living at home. She's living at home. It's all good, right? I mean, everything is just great. You love each other. You think he's Mr. Wonderful. She thinks that about you. You think she's the most awesome girl you've ever met, all the rest of it. Then you get married. And you're like, we enjoy everything we do together. We love each other. This should be easy. How many know something? Two people living at mom and dad's, now coming together as a family, is very, very different than going out to the movies on Friday night. Come on. And you discover that though you thought it would be easy, it's more challenging than you ever thought it would be. And it can be a point of discouragement. Maybe it's about starting a career. Maybe you've had a career. You thought, this is my dream job. I know people doing this work. I see the things they're doing. Man, I love it. And then you get hired on, or you start that career, and you realize that in the background of all the things that you thought were awesome about that job is a whole bunch of stuff that's terrible and very hard, and you don't like it, and you got to do it, but it's just part of the deal. You didn't realize it was there. Why? You just had the wrong image about what it was like to do that career, and now it's an opportunity to be discouraged. Do you know, even being in the will of God, sometimes people think, well, if I'm in the will of God, man, it's just going to be so good. As long as I'm in the will of God, it's all good, right? Read the Bible. Those people were in the will of God. It wasn't all good. There was plenty that was challenging, plenty that could be discouraging and upsetting into their lives, even though they were smack dab in the center of God's will, doing what God had called them to do the way that he had called him to do it. It can be discouraging. So how do we keep our courage? Number one, keeping my courage is a matter of choice, not feeling. I just need to drive this home. Courage is a choice. Courage is not a feeling. We know that courage is a choice because God treats it as something that he can command you to do. He treats it as something that he can just tell you to do and expect you to do. A good example of that is Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Joshua takes over the leadership of Israel from Moses, and God shows up and says this, Joshua, I want you to be strong, and I want you to be encouraged. Three times he tells them the same thing. Be strong and be of good courage. Be courageous. Be courageous. He didn't show up and say, Joshua, I hope you're feeling courageous because, man, you got some stuff going on and I just hope you're feeling it today. He didn't do that. He didn't show up and say, Joshua, I just let me try to encourage you a little bit here today. He didn't show up and pat him on the back and give him a donut, you know, or something. He just said to him, be courageous. Be courageous. That's because courage is a determination of mindset and attitude of heart that we can choose. In fact, you may even feel nervous, feel afraid, feel intimidated, but choose courage. I'm sure that Joshua, you know, picking up the responsibility that Moses had, is looking at who he's replacing and thinking, my gosh, this is the guy who takes everybody through the Red Sea, and he confronts leaders, and miracles happen, and now I got to fill his shoes. It could be a little intimidating. And God says, just be courageous. Just be courageous. In fact, if there was no risk, if there was no fear, if there was no chance of failure, if there was no possible loss, if there was no chance of embarrassment, if there was no potential cost to you, you wouldn't have to choose courage because you got nothing against you. Right. You got nothing against you. You don't have to choose courage when everything's going, you know, that way. You look at a circumstance like that, you go, oh, I'm very encouraged. Well, of course you are. You have nothing to oppose you. But when you have those things, those are the moments when courage counts. Courage is the choice that we make when there is something that is in opposition, when there is something to fear, when there is some risk, something to lose, some potential loss or failure. And why is that so important to understand? I'll tell you why. Because courage is not conditional on your circumstances. It's not conditional on your circumstances. You know, we like to ask the question, hey, are you encouraged? And usually what we're asking is, how is it going? And then we get, you know, a response of sort of like, well, yeah, I'm encouraged. And then somebody will explain how the circumstances are lining up and it's making them feel good. Or they'll say, no, I'm not encouraged. And then they explain how the circumstances are not going that well for them and why they feel discouraged. But the courage that we are talking about is not found in the circumstances. This is the kind of courage you need because the circumstances are not in your favor and the outcome is still in the balance. I'm talking about that kind of courage. It's like there's nothing about my circumstances that is encouraging, but I need to make the courageous decision. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about, you know, the physical and emotional opposition that he was facing, spiritual opposition, all the rest of it, when he was ministering the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says this, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. And of course, he's just talking about all the stuff that's gone on. I mean, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was left for dead, he was put in chains, he was, you know, put in prison, he was without food, he was shipwrecked. He goes through all of this. Then he goes on to say, after describing all of that, that he was being delivered over to death. In other words, this is just a fancy way of saying everything possible seems to be trying to take me out. And then in the next chapter, he says, you know, eventually I'm going to go and I'm going to get to shed these earthly clothes, referring to his body, and I'm going to gain a heavenly body. That's all going to happen. But this is what my struggle is right now. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:6, this very next chapter, he says this, therefore, being always of good courage. Being always of good courage. This guy's going through terrible circumstances. And in the midst of that, he says, but I'm of good courage. I'm of good courage. There was nothing about the circumstances that would make anybody be of good courage. Come on. Good courage was a choice. The courage was how he chose to deal with the challenges that faced him. Good courage was the result of his choice, not good circumstances or situations. Listen, courage is not conditional on your circumstances. And here's the key. Courage is a force that will shape my circumstances. Your courage is not because you got the right situation, but because you got courage, you're going to make the situation right. Come on. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Ziklag was a place where David and his men were, and they had their family stay there. They go off to battle. When they came back, they found that the enemy had taken all their families captive. And so the place is vacated. The women and children are gone. And in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, we pick up there. It says, and David was greatly distressed. In other words, you know, David wasn't like, I'm super spiritual, this stuff doesn't bother me. He was as upset as all of his men were. He says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke about stoning him. So he's even more distressed than they are because they're angry at their leader and they want to kill him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Everybody's grieving. Everybody's weeping. Everybody's upset. Everybody's angry. But David, also feeling upset, also feeling distressed, also feeling all of those things, got with God in a moment and got his courage back. And got his courage back. Nothing had changed. His family and the families of his men had not had, were still taken captive. They hadn't come back. They were nowhere to be seen. His men were still angry at him and ready to kill him. But David got his courage back. I just want to tell you, some of you just need to get your courage back. You need to get your courage back, because when David got his courage back, he eventually got his family back, and he got their families back, and he turned the circumstance around because he got his courage back. Courage is not founded on the right circumstances, but courage is the force by which you will make your circumstances right. You can choose courage. We've made courageous choices as a family, as a church as well. When our family moved from Vancouver to Edmonton in 1990 to start this church, when none of this was here, it was a choice of courage. When we took the first step as a church and bought the first building, and then the second building, and now this building, they were all choices of courage. In other words, we didn't walk into a situation where it was like, oh, look, we have so much surplus money. Maybe we should buy another building. It sounds good, but it was never that way. But we had courage. And courage shifts your circumstances. And now we're stepping out to start Celebration Northwest. Not because there's 200 people over there saying, can we please start another location? Not because somebody has donated us a building, although that would be nice. Not because of ego, not because we need something to do, but because we choose courage, and we choose courage because as a church, we are committed to reaching our city, and it's just the right thing to do. Yeah. Number two, knowing that God is with me empowers me to keep my courage. Yeah. Knowing that God is with me empowers me to keep my courage. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. By the way, that phrase is all over the Bible. So many times God just speaks to people, says, don't be afraid, I'm with you, I'm with you. Do not be anxiously looking about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says, I'm with you, and I will be with you. Those phrases appear all over the place. Statements like that are common throughout the scriptures. Listen, whenever God asked somebody to do something courageous, he always reminded them, by the way, I'm with you. Whenever he did that, all throughout the scripture, you're going to take a courageous step, I'm with you, I'm with you. And so he says to Abraham, I want you to leave home, I want you to leave your country, I don't want you to take family with you, I'm going to take you to a land you don't even know where it is, just follow me, we'll get there. It was courageous, but it was the start of Israel. It was the start of something new that God was doing. It was the start of something amazing. God just said, I'm with you. I'm with you. That's all you need to know. I'm with you. When Isaac felt to leave the land, he was like, man, we're in a season of drought. I think I need to go. And God said, no, you don't. You need to stay. This is your land. And then he said this. He said, you're going to make a courageous decision to stay, even though there's a drought. And then God reminded him, I am with you. And you know what happened? The Bible says that Isaac sowed in a time of famine and reaped 100-fold, 100 times what he sowed. In other words, he made the courageous step, and he got super blessed by staying where God told him to stay. But it was courage to stay during a drought. Moses, when he was to confront Pharaoh and release Israel to go into the promised land, and he's like, man, this is, you know, I don't feel very equipped, God, I don't feel like I'm the guy. God said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Joshua, when he took over leadership from Moses, and he's about to go in and take out enemies and, you know, go into the promised land. Joshua 1:5 says this, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here he's being commissioned. Come on, you're picking up leadership here, Joshua. Here's what you need to know. I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I'm with you. When David commissioned Solomon to finish the temple, 1 Chronicles 28:20, then David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous, act. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Act, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished." Can I say to you, I believe there's people here today, you need to take verses like this and you need to read them like every day, that you're facing something in your world that could be very discouraging, that could set you off course, that could cause you to make a very, very wrong decision. And I'm talking about before coffee, you need to hold those verses up. You need to read them. You need to speak over your day the word of the Lord, that God is with you in the battle that you are facing right now. Some of you might be facing and dealing with addictions and getting some stuff out of your life. Sometimes we need to get out of stuff, and sometimes we need to get some stuff out of us, and you might be facing that. You need to read that verse. You need to hold that and realize God is with you in the battle, that you're going to win because you are not alone in what you are facing. You can be courageous and stand against that. Yeah. Jeremiah, when he was called to be a prophet at a young age, and was trying to tell God, "God, have you seen pictures of prophets lately? They're all old people." And God says, "No, you're not too young. Don't be afraid." Why? Because I am with you. When Jesus commissioned the church to preach the gospel, in Matthew 28:19, he said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I command you. And surely I am," what's the next two words? "With you always to the very end of the age." Let me just say that "I am with you" is not simply a statement of geography and proximity. It is often accompanied with the phrase, "Do not fear." And it is the foundation of courage, because it means more than God being in the same room. It means even more than that. It means more than geography. It's a statement of approval. When God says, "I'm with you," he's saying, "You've got my approval. I approve of you." And whenever you know that it's okay with God, your courage soars. Whenever you know God's on your side on this one, your courage soars. It's a statement of favor. It's a statement that says God's favor is on your life because he's with you. It's a statement of empowerment. Look who's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's a statement of righteousness. When you're doing the right thing, how many know something? God's going to be with you. It's a statement of partnership. God's with you. You're not alone. He's your senior partner working with you. It's a statement of benefit. He's going to help you. If he's with you, he's going to help you. It's a statement of purpose, that he's the one that you've chosen to live for and to do life with, that he is with you. He is your purpose. It's a statement of purpose. You know, you're making right choices and God says, "I'm going to back you up." The statement, "I am with you," is the antidote to fear, intimidation, hesitation, and excuses. Everything that would keep you from doing what is right and what God has called you to do with your life, it's the antidote to those things. It gives you the courage to do what is right. Sometimes we just need the courage to do what is right. We need the courage to choose moral purity in a promiscuous society. We need the courage to be honest and have integrity when you see others that live without character and are getting by that way. We need the courage to forgive when our feelings are telling us to stay angry and vengeful. Sometimes we need the courage to do what is right. Sometimes we need the courage to do what God has called us to do. The courage to reach out, the courage to share your faith. That's why you're noticing each week you're coming in and there's a little card for you to use. And you know what? Whether you actually give the card or just say something to somebody, that little piece of paper is a statement. And it's a statement that says this: God's called all of us to share Jesus with our city. Come on. It's a reminder. It's encouragement to say, don't forget, this is the one thing you got to do this week. I don't know about you, but I work with a to-do list, because if I don't have a to-do list, it won't get to done. I hope those cards are top of your do list. Do think about who you're praying for. Do think about who you're inviting, who you're reaching out. Be courageous with your faith, amen? Be courageous to live out a bold walk with God, even among others who may not be believers around you. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when nobody's pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So what is it that intimidates you? Is it speaking up? Is it leadership? Is it new things? Oh, I've never done that before. I'm not very experienced. I don't know if you've noticed, but God works with a lot of people who don't have any experience. Yeah, read through the scriptures. All those people that God used, they didn't come with a resume to back them up. Moses didn't hand in a piece of paper that said, you know, I think I could do the Red Sea. I did a creek there last week and no track record whatsoever. Peter, every time he opened up his mouth, he got in trouble. And here God uses him to preach the first sermon. 3,000 received Christ because of it. God's not looking for experience. He's not asking, here's the deal. He's not asking the question, can you do this? He's asking the question, will you do this? He doesn't really actually ask that question. He implies it because he calls us by commandment. When he says things like, forgive, follow me. You know, those are commandment words. Leave your past. Serve, give, all of those things, pray. The question isn't can you, the question that is implied is will you? And courage makes us do the will, makes us make the right choice. Courage gives you the ability to do what God has called you to do. I wanna wrap up the service with a poem that I came across, Mother Teresa's poem. Called Anyway, and I just thought it was fitting for the subject on courage. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of being selfish or having ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good that you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best that you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best that you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and your God, and it was never between you and them anyway. Would you stand as we take time to close in prayer? Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the courage to do right, the courage to follow you, the courage to make right choices in our lives. I thank you, Father God, that you empower that courage. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who is here that is facing something that is challenging to them, intimidating to them, something that makes them fearful, something that makes them wonder, how will this turn out? I thank you for every one of those people, God, you are with them, that you, God, are here to empower us. I just pray, Father God, for courage to rise in their hearts. I pray for decisions of courage that steadfastness, Lord, that obstinance, that hardened decision that is hardened and fixed in the right decision, in the right choice, in the right direction. And God, may you empower your people to make courageous choices and do the right thing in their lives, in Jesus' name. With the heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer because I believe there's people here today. You need to make a courageous decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Not just to simply believe, and of course we have to believe, but to believe that Jesus died on the cross and paid for your past. That's part of the package. But the Bible says you're also to confess him as the Lord of your life. That means being courageous enough to say, I am willing to follow Jesus. I am willing to do life Jesus's way. And that's when Christianity really kicks into gear in your life. That's when a relationship with God just absolutely takes over and becomes the most awesome experience of your life. Don't live your life as a distant fan when you're called to be a committed follower. And I want to pray with you right now with our heads bowed. I'm not going to count or anything. I'm just going to ask you, just to give me a wave. If you're saying, man, pastor, you know what? I'm in on this prayer. Count me in. I want to make a decision, a courageous decision to be a follower of Jesus. Could you just give me a wave right where you're standing right now? Just give me a wave. Man, count me in on that prayer. That's my decision. I'm making a courageous decision to serve Jesus today. That's awesome. Let's pray with those who are praying with us today. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you were courageous when you went to the cross and paid for the sins of the world. I ask you to forgive my past. And I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior, and I will follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our series, Wind My Sails. If you'd like to know more about Celebration Church or like to partner with us financially, go to celebrationedmonton.com. You can follow along with everything going on at Celebration on Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back next week to hear another great message.